I told Jens I don't got no more time for any more podcasts. Well,
this one's only 10 minutes.
Oh, well, I can do 10 minutes.
It's the Handy Dandy 10 Minute Sports Podcast with Jim Shear, and it all starts now.
On the last episode of this podcast, an intern incorrectly reported that the Masters was happening last weekend. That's not true at all. The Masters is happening this weekend. So that intern has since been fired. But fear not, that intern still has a job. They are actually the host of this podcast. I can't help it. You know, sometimes I mess up my dates. I swore that last week was April 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. That's not true. This week is April 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Tiger Woods will not be at the Masters this year. He is recovering from back surgery. But, you know, I think golf is in perfectly good hands without Tiger. I know that's a bold statement. This is also a bold statement. I don't think Tiger Woods will ever win another major. Yeah, I said it. And as I said before I made that bold statement, my first bold statement, golf is in perfectly good hands with Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth. The triumvirate of the future of golf. Three great players pushing each other. On the fringe, you have Bubba Watson and Ricky Fowler. So I think it's going to be a fun Masters to watch. And ever since I moved to New York City, I like watching golf because I just like seeing sprawling views of green grass and trees. It's nice. I can almost smell the fresh air. The Golden State Warriors, because we always like to update the Golden State Warriors on this podcast, they have 9 losses now. They lost to the freaking Timberwolves this week. If they lose one more, that means they will tie the greatest NBA record of all time, held by the 95-96 Chicago Bulls. And if they lose 11 games, then they don't got that record anymore. Oh, and guess what? They have to play the Spurs 2 more times in their last 4 games. Ouch. On Tuesday, the NCAA Women's Basketball Champion was crowned. If you are not familiar with the field this year, I'll give you one guess as to who won. Yeah, you got it. UConn. They won again. I've lost count at how many times they've won the national championship. This is their 4th straight title. Brianna Stewart, this is her 4th straight Most Outstanding Player Award. And I don't know if you've ever seen Brianna Stewart play basketball. If you've just seen a picture of Brianna Stewart, she doesn't look like a star, but when you see her play, you realize that she is one. She's just one of those players that isn't super flashy, but after 10 minutes, you say, ooh, dang, she is fundamentally sound. Got a solid game, and she will probably be drafted by Seattle in the WNBA draft. Why wouldn't they pick her first? On Monday night, the NCAA men's basketball champion was crowned in what is being called the most exciting college basketball game of all time. I think it's too soon to do that. Let's let this sit for another 2 or 3 years before we call it the greatest ever. I know we're all excited. It was a great game. If you didn't watch, with less than 10 seconds to go in a giant stadium, Michael Jordan is in attendance, rooting on his alma mater, North Carolina. UNC is down by 3. Villanova, mind you, is playing some tight defense, ziplock tight. In the last 4 minutes of the game, every basket North Carolina scored was kind of lucky because Villanova was playing such tight defense. I mean, at this point in time, Villanova could have easily been up by 12. They're only up by 3. Marcus Paige gets the ball. Once again, the defense is tight, so he has to, in what sports reporters were calling a double clutch, but I call it a double pump, because to borrow a phrase from Belle Biv DeVoe, double pump, double pump, double platinum. So on his double pump, he just gets off a prayer. It looks like it's going to hit off the shot clock, It goes in the hoop and the stadium goes nuts. Michael Jordan goes nuts, and Michael Jordan has seen everything. So to see him react like a fan, that was amazing. The game was tied at 74 with 4.7 seconds left. So UNC isn't guarding the inbounder. I'm sure Roy Williams had a reason why he didn't want to guard the inbounder. So in 4.7 seconds, the most outstanding player of the tournament, Archie Diacchino, gets the ball down the court. I think he's going to heave a half-court shot, but he has enough time to dribble up to the top of the three-point arc. He hands it off to Chris Jenkins from Villanova, who is wide open, and with no time left on the clock, boom. Nothing but net. The game is over. Villanova wins the national title 77-74. Now, a lot of people have been pointing a finger at North Carolina and Roy Williams saying, why didn't you play better defense? Why didn't you have somebody on the inbounder? Say what you will. It was a great game. I'm going to point a finger at the confetti popper because as soon as Chris Jenkins' ball went through the hoop, there was confetti all over the court. And the referees, A, haven't decided if it was a good bucket, and B, didn't decide if there was more time on the clock. Imagine the mess that would have been if the referee said, guys, there's 0.8 seconds on the clock. Let's take 20 minutes and clean up all this confetti. But fortunately for everyone involved, especially the confetti popper, the basket was good, and there was no more time left on the clock. Villanova, the national champions, once again beating North Carolina 77-74. And I want to end this episode of the Handy Dandy 10-Minute Sports Podcast by talking about WrestleMania 32, which was held at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas on Sunday. I grew up loving professional wrestling. I still do love professional wrestling. I don't watch it as much as I did when I was younger, but I always pay attention to the big events like SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. And I haven't been satisfied with a WrestleMania in years. It's too big for its own good. I remember back in the day, a pay-per-view would start at 8, and it would end before 11, so it's less than 3 hours. And then I think at some point it might have started at 7:30, and then pay-per-views would start at 7 and end before 11, so that's less than 4 hours. Then they would tack on a pre-show, which would make it even longer, and I don't even know how long this year's WrestleMania was, but the curfew was now midnight. So I'm thinking everything's going to be over before 11. There's an extra hour tacked on. And the main event was Triple H against Roman Reigns. And you talk to any wrestling purist, and they will tell you that's a horrible main event. Triple H is way past his prime. Roman Reigns is a good guy that everybody hates. A man who hasn't reached his full potential yet. So after 5 or 6 hours of wrestling, we have to sit through a 27-minute main event. Ugh. There were some cool parts, though. We got to see Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, and Stone Cold come to the ring and do their thing. By the way, Shawn Michaels looked fantastic. Looked like he can still wrestle a main event, which I know he can, but he doesn't want to get sucked back into that professional wrestling black hole. Stone Cold Steve Austin was wearing tennis shoes when he came to the ring. Come on, Stone Cold, it's the biggest event of the year. Wear black boots or something. The Rock was also there. He came to the ring to announce that the WWE set a new WrestleMania attendance record. 101,763,000 were in attendance. And then he took off his street clothes he happened to have on wrestling gear, and he got into an impromptu match with Eric Rowan, a match in which he won in 6 seconds, which is also a new WrestleMania record. So I'm always on the WrestleManias, but I tell you what, the Monday Night Raws following WrestleMania always trump the big show. So that's going to do it for me. Until next time, my name is Jim Shear, and I will see yins later.